I trust that your faith is growing. We've asked you to read and pray Ephesians 1, 16 through 19, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. If you do that every day, trust me, it will change things in your life. Terry and I are just experiencing so much refreshment from the Lord as we ask for wisdom and understanding. Guess what? He gives wisdom and understanding. Come on. That we would know with all the saints what is the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth of the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And guess what? He does it. Shouldn't be surprising to us, although we think it is. We think it's surprising, but shouldn't be surprising. We go over to Kroger and we have an intent to buy, you know, butter pecan ice cream, which I love. When I go back to the butter pecan ice cream, I expect it to be there. And guess what? It is. About six different kinds. How much more when we ask the Lord? See, I've been telling you now for the last two or three years, the major word has been change. We can't keep talking about change without change. Change is not change until it's change. And so we're doing that. Now, some very basic things that we want to go back. You're going to hear a lot of repetitive things over the next couple of months, but it's on purpose. Jesus repeated himself again and 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 again until his disciples were able to say it just like Jesus said it. And that's what needs to happen with you and I. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar and our God be true. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about the ecclesia. And if you're wise and prudent, you'll take some notes today and get into this. The ecclesia, which means the called out ones, what Christ chose to call his church. Christ said, and we're going to get into it here in a little bit. Christ said to Peter, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church, and the gates or the government of hell will not come against it, will not succeed. So he was talking about his government being established on the earth. Now, how many know he didn't mean for it to be established 2,000 years later? From that point on, he says, I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail, shall not win, shall not overcome my kingdom. You and I are a part of that. And we are waking up as a church in America today. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, underline let them in your Bible, not let God and you, but let us have dominion over fish of the sea, birds of the air, cattle, over all the earth. Say over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We have authority that is given to us. Come on, somebody. Not because of us. I've been talking a lot about dominion and receiving a lot about dominion from the Lord. And I've done some studying on dominion. And it is one of the most attacked teachings in the body of Christ today. People say, well, that's impossible. You don't have dominion. We're not going to have a dominion until Christ comes. And when he establishes his kingdom, we're going to have dominion with him. How many know that's not what the Bible says? And then they take that and extrapolate it out, saying that the dominion means that we're going to take over governments and we're going to run everything on the earth. That's not what it means at all. It means that we'll have influence in every sector of society so that people who are seeking the Lord can find him. Whether it's in government, whether it's in church, whether it's in banking, whether it's in movies, whether it's in, wherever they are, we have authority in those areas so that everyone that can come and is being drawn by the Holy Spirit will have all obstacles removed. Are you there? We're not talking about taking over. That will happen one day. When Christ comes, He'll take over. Then look out. And then it'll be too late. But God gave us authority. He said, let us, you and I, have dominion. So we want to talk about that this morning. Jesus came to restore the kingdom of God to man. We have dominion as co-heirs with Christ. He came to restore it to us. Now why? Because in Genesis 1:26, when He spoke to Adam and Eve, that was His purpose for all of mankind. Adam and Eve were to have dominion, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren. God's intent, His original purpose for mankind was that we would oversee the earth and have dominion. Now we all know what happened. Somebody was listening when God said, let them have dominion. And Satan attacked right away. We don't know what the time lapse was between his statement and Satan's attack, but he came to attack Eve, spoke to Eve, and he said, has God really said that you're going to have dominion? That you're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which will make you just like God, you'll know the difference between good and evil. I don't think he meant that what he said. I think that that's you're supposed to eat it to be like him. That's what he did. And Eve saw that the tree was good for food and it was good for making one wise. Now, how she figured that out, but she had the mind of Christ. She had the mind of God. Come on, somebody. Christ came to restore all that to His church. We say, well, I wonder why Jesus hasn't come back to establish His kingdom. Because the church has been lied to for centuries. We've been lied to. We say things all the time like, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I heard it again the other day, a powerful pastor saying, we're nothing but sinners. I don't know what Bible he's reading. I'm not a sinner. I used to be a sinner, and I was a pretty good one, thank you very much. I did it well. But guess what? God made me a new creation. And if you're a born-again believer, you're a new creation. So He came to restore His kingdom to you. We shouldn't be beholden or serving anything but Almighty God. Psalm 115 says this, 115:16, if you're taking notes, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth He has given to the children of men. We belong in ownership of this earth. In stewardship, I'm sorry. He owns it. We're stewards over it. Jesus spent 3 years of His 3.5-year ministry on the earth speaking about the kingdom of God before He ever mentioned the word church. He spoke of the kingdom of God. His very first message, He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Come on, somebody. So the kingdom of God is much more than the church. The kingdom of God is in heaven, on earth, under the earth. Everything that exists is part of the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Potentially everything that exists belongs to Him. All the disciples preached the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, when He sent out the 12 and He sent out the 70, He said, go and preach. Go and tell them what you heard. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. People were curious. John the Baptist, about ready to lose his head, literally, over the whole kingdom thing. He came to Jesus and said, are you the one or should we look for another? He said, hang on. He went and healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers. After he was done, he came back. He said, you go tell John what you have seen. The kingdom of heaven is a powerful, powerful kingdom. Powerful kingdom. But it has to be enacted upon. If we don't act on it, the kingdom of God lies dormant. It's never meant to lay dormant. And what we've done in America has been genius. Because we're entrepreneurs. So we said, we got an idea. Let's build little buildings and we'll pockmark them all over the area. And we'll hire people to professionally carry the kingdom of God. See that over there? That pastor's over there. He carries the kingdom of God. I go listen to him once a week and he's pretty good. But how many know the kingdom of God is carried on every one of our shoulders? Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Say, well, what can I do for God? Everything. What can I do for God? Everything. Nothing is impossible for those who believe. Jesus said it himself. Come on, somebody. We see somebody who needs prayer. Steve said it. Pray. Be bold. Man, I've got Pastor Rick on speed dial. Pastor Rick, come and pray. Well, I can't. I'm busy. Come and pray. You pray, silly thing. Hang on. In Jesus' name. Jesus lives in you just like he does me. Come on, somebody. Teaching about the church ruling and reigning has been pushed to the millennial reign of Christ. The popular thing is, we're going to rule and reign on that day. Come on. What happened to right now? Why is the church being pushed over into a corner? Man, our freedoms have been taken away little by little by little. You're going to wake up someday and it's going to shock you. Just heard about a town in Wisconsin that ruled out speaking against homosexuality, same-sex marriages in their town. Churches can advertise, but they cannot say anything about homosexuality, transgender living. It's law. That's just a couple states away, my friend. They're coming for us. We need to take authority in Jesus' name. See, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not court justices and lawyers that we're fighting with. We're fighting against the powers of darkness. Why do you think they're so vehement against the church? If we ever realized our potential, we'd put the enemy to flight. My Bible says one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. I like those odds. Satan fights the kingdom mandate so that we will remain passive and ignorant. So that we will remain passive and ignorant. Well, that's what we hired the pastors for, and that's why we have special meetings for, and that's why we have whoever started the special meeting thing, just to have a meeting. Revival's one thing. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people? Genius, genius business. Hey, I got a little bit of truth, and I'm going to put it in a book for them, and I'm going to ask you to come and come to my city. It's going to cost you $500 in airplane tickets. When you get here, I'm going to charge you $100 per CD. And if you miss any of the workshops, you're not going to go home with what you need. And every workshop's got stuff you got to spend money on. Come on, somebody. You get home, you spend $2,000, and 3 weeks later, you're the same shape as you were 3 weeks before. Come on, someone. Oh, well, you're speaking against the business side of the church. Yeah, the business side of the church is souls. The business side of the church is healing. The business side of the church is power. Yeah. It's not books and tapes and little secrets. And I get it. I get it. I went to a... Just a couple weeks ago, I went down to a seminar. It was free, by the way. And nobody asked me for money, and I didn't buy anything. I get it. I know that there's some gatherings that are powerful. I get that. What I'm talking about is the misuse of the power of God. And Satan loves that kind of thing. Because, man, when we get together, we're like cock on the walk. You know, you get together with 9,000 people in a building and everybody's going, oh, glory to God, praise God, you're laying hands on everybody, you're the powerful man of God. And when you get home, you can't even pray for your neighbor. Can't even talk to anybody about God. I did my duty. I went, took my week vacation and went to talk about God with 9,000 other people that already know God. Think about it. Let me lay hands on you and prophesy. Well, you lazy thing, why don't you hear from God yourself? Why do you need prophecy? Change is not change until it's change. Kingdom in the Greek is basileia. Basa meaning king, leia meaning dome or kingdom. When Jesus said, I came to preach the kingdom, he was talking about a government that rules territories, areas, and nations in the spiritual realm. You remember whenever he came to Pilate, and Pilate says, are you a king? He said, you said rightly I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my people would have fought against you. Come on, somebody. But he didn't say it wasn't a kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's in the spirit. And that's where our battle is. Everybody knows that. It's woke up 3 a.m. for that butter pecan ice cream. You're fighting spirits. Come on, somebody. I don't know how they get that voice in that ice cream thing, but it speaks pretty loudly sometimes. See, Satan is fighting with success. He's rocking the church world to sleep and done it successfully. Listen to some of this. Listen to me. 69% of all Christians believe that everyone will go to heaven. In a recent poll, 69% of all Christians said everyone will go to heaven. You know what you're talking about? Almost 3 out of 4 people don't believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. 3 out of 4 Christians. I'd say Satan is winning. How can we ever preach conviction on a generation if they believe there's no difference between them and us? We're all going to heaven. Part of what I do is do funerals. When I go to funerals, it's amazing how many people think you're going to just go to heaven. This person that died, they're just, of course, we're going to see him someday. And have a no confession of Christ. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Come on. That's alarming to me when I read that statistic. So the church isn't ruling and reigning. 24 of 25 millennials do not have a biblical worldview. The young generation coming up right now does not have a biblical worldview. It's not surprising most adults don't have a biblical worldview. 51% of Christians say they have never heard of the Great Commission. 51% of Christians today that go to church have never heard the term the Great Commission. How many know what the Great Commission is? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope you've heard that here. Amen. But if you didn't hear it here, you should hear it in your spirit, because that's the Great Commission from the Holy Spirit. Come on, smile at me a little bit. Seventy % of the unchurched have never been invited to church. 3 out of 4 people have never had an invitation to go to church. I mean, if you don't have the boldness to lead somebody to Christ, at least invite them somewhere where they have a fighting chance. I guarantee you, they come here, they're going to hear the gospel. 60% of Christians believe they are under no obligation to share their faith. 6 out of 10 Christians say, I don't have to share my faith, somebody else take care of it. Come on, somebody. Come on. And we wonder why we don't hear an answer to prayer. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Heavy, just a little bit heavy. Matthew 16, 18, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 16, 18, it's on the screen as well. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? So he said, well, Isaiah, Jeremiah, this and that. And he looks and he says to Peter, or he says again, who do you think I am? He says to his disciples. And Peter says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's Jesus' answer. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you in 17, but the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, and I also say to you in verse 18, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus at that point was giving the government of his kingdom to the disciples. You come over to my house and I give you the key to my house. That means everything in my house is available to you. Come on, somebody. Come on. If you come to my house and I give you the keys and you go in, every door is locked except the kitchen, you know I don't trust you so much. But when somebody gives you the keys to something, and Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to us. Say, well, Pastor, I just can't get any answers from God. I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if He gave you the keys to the kingdom. When he's speaking to Peter, now you say, well, he was just speaking to Peter, but if you look in Matthew 18, he said the very same thing to the disciples. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It starts here. Because he gave, listen to me, because he gave the earth to men, God cannot move outside of man. He can, but he's not going to. Well, you're preaching. That's heresy, man. God can do anything he wants. Yes, he can, but he's not going to. He gave the authority to you and I. Case in point, Cornelius, crying out to God, praying the only way he knew how. An angel of the Lord appears to him. Says, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers. Here's how you get saved. Turn to Romans chapter 1. No, that's not what he did. He said, go and send for Peter. In Joppa, a man came called Simon. He's staying with a guy in Joppa. Go and get him, and he'll tell you what you need to do. Now, why? I mean, I don't know about you. How many has ever seen an angel? I mean, it appeared to you and talk with you. My hand's down, man. If by the time an angel appears to you, don't you think if God could do it out, man, that would be the excellent time to do that. The angel would have said, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you will be born again. That would have been excellent. Wouldn't it? But he said, go to Joppa. So however long it took for him to send to Joppa and Peter come over, and Peter explained the way of salvation to Cornelius, and him and his whole household was saved. God's not going to do it without you. The great theologian Augustine said, without God we can't, without us he won't. Without God we can't, without us God won't. When we speak of the King in heaven, there's agreement. When we talk about the king in heaven, everybody says, oh yeah, King Jesus is in heaven. He's king over all of heaven. And when he comes, he'll be king. But when we talk about the king and his kingdom on earth, there's resistance. Can this really? And it's because we've really never seen the kingdom of God take over. But this nation has experienced it many times. This nation was built on the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, were in revival. Three quarters of them were going to revival meetings every day and coming and writing our Constitution and bylaws. World War I was ended because of prayer. World War II was ended because of prayer. Stuff you won't read in your history books. Is God coinciding with man or not? Is he answering prayer? Yes, he is. And he's establishing his kingdom through people. And every once in a while we find somebody weird that actually believes it, and we gather people following them around. You know, 10,000 people to see one guy moving like the whole 10,000 could if they just believed God. So we make heroes. We stick them out. And what happens is we stick them up out of the way and we say, oh, this is a man of God. He's a man of God. When he comes in, everybody bows to him. People carry his things and send him around. Well, how stupid can we get and still breathe? We ain't got the brains God gave geese. Who's Satan going to pick off? Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go and make disciples. Watch what Romans 8:17 says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We are heirs of Christ. Now that in the Greek, it's we're exactly the same as Christ. We are heirs to the kingdom. That means that everything Jesus could do and does, we do. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God living in us. It's just like Jesus. When you speak, you have the same authority as the Son of God. No, that can't be. That's heresy. We can't do that. We can't take control of the elements. We can't take control. That's what my Bible says, that I am a joint heir with Christ. And what he could do, he even said it. He said to his disciples, greater works than I do, you will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus' first message, the very most important thing that he said in his message, how many know it must have been pretty important, his first one? Watch what it says in the Bible. It says in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. It goes on to say that he was healing the sick, healing the lepers and all kinds of things. But he was preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom. That's what he sent you and I to do. Moffat's translation, I love it, says, preaching the gospel of the reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign. That means the king is reigning in his kingdom. How many know? He never intended it for it to be 3.5 years and he was going back. And then 2,000 years later, he'd come back and do it again. Come on, the genius was that he said, I'll send my Spirit, one just like me, and he'll live in you. And the things that I do, you will do also. I'm beginning my reign now. I'm restoring the kingdom back to mankind. There's a king. If there's a kingdom, there's a king. Kingdom or domain. There's a king, and the king lives in me. So by all intents and purposes, for the last 2,100 years, his kingdom is being built. He who began a good work in you shall complete it. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about inheriting the kingdom. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Thy kingdom, I said, thy kingdom come. Excuse, I should have checked. Thy kingdom come. That's not begging God. Oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Please, if you got time, send your kingdom. No, it's in the emphatic verb form. Thy kingdom come. I pray that over my house, my wife, my family, every day. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's a command. Come on, somebody. Matthew 9:35, again, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The Message Bible said he reported kingdom news. J.B. Phillips says, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, or the good news of the kingdom. So he said, I will build my church, which is ecclesia, political, judicial, and governmental rule in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. How many know, if you don't believe the political government in America is spiritual, you need to go to summer school. Holy Ghost summer school. The political spirit in this nation is so demonic right now. I mean, it's not just difference of opinion, it's demonic. How many know? Come on. Perversion is being promoted. Sin is being promoted. I watch myself. You can get on and watch yourself. The New York state government signed into law killing babies after they're born. They clapped, jumping up and down, high-fiving. This is a great day for the state of New York. You don't think political is spiritual? You don't think judicial is spiritual? It is. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And I'm afraid that the left want absolute power. They don't want to just win in 2020. They want absolute power in 2020. They're no longer talking about just winning a political race. They're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. Can I just tell you, I know enough about it. If they do that, we're done. Wake up one morning and it'll all be gone. Well, Pastor Rick, you're being a little bit... No. If you've been around at all, you've seen this diagram. I've used it a lot. We were all sinners, sinful man. We came to a place of confession. We died in Christ. Christ raised us into newness of life. We're seated in the heavenly places. This little guy sitting on a throne is seated with Christ. We're commanded then to walk in the Spirit. We grow from D, E, F, G to perfection, Z. On that day when we're with Him, we'll know Him because we'll be like Him. Galatians 5:16 says to walk in the Spirit. But what are we there for? What are we seated there for? It's not for a vantage point so we can see earth better. It's for the power of the kingdom to be ours. We're seated on the throne, so when we speak from the throne, the enemy has to listen. Come on, someone. How many know if Jesus speaks from the throne, it gets done? How many would say amen to that? Amen. When you speak from the throne, it'll get done. Why? Because you're seated in heaven. I got to get there. We're told to bind and to loose and to go and to make disciples. And so that we have all authority has been given in heaven and on earth to Christ, and we have that same authority. Church is not a place. If it were, Jesus would have said, I will build my synagogue or my temple, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus was the wisest man that ever lived. He did not make an accident when he said, I'll build my government. I'll build my ecclesia. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Jesus did not use the word ecclesia by accident. He used it on purpose. And it was used, he knew exactly what he was saying. But it changed in 1557 in the Geneva New Testament. There was a man named Theodore Beza that began to see churches raising up buildings and temples and synagogues being raised up, and he kind of liked that model, and so it was perpetuated in just about every nation. And then that was translated, the church, the word church was translated to a hierarchical government like was being set. King James in 1611, the King James official Bible, changed the word to kirikon, which to be used for church means a building or a place where people go to worship. 113 times in the New Testament, church is used, and it's never kirikon. It's ekklesia. But it's been preached, it's been talked about for centuries that the church is a place over on the corner. Really, when we say we're going to church, we're speaking kind of nuts. You can't take the church to church. You're the church. Say, I'm the church. See, we come to a building, we worship together. I get that, I understand it, I love it. Ekklesia 113 times, kirikon 0 times. It's never translated kirikon. But it has been wrongly talked about. Ekklesia was a word. Jesus knew what he was talking about. It was first used in Greece 500 years before Christ. And the ekklesia was meant an assembly of called out ones summoned by the town crier to a legislative assembly at the gates. Listen very carefully. This will change the way you look at things. When Jesus said, I will build my ekklesia, everybody knew what he was talking about. He didn't invent a new word. They understood that it was the people, the citizens that were upstanding citizens in a village or in an area. The town crier would go and make some kind of an announcement, and they would come to the city gates, the seat of power. The city gates were where the elders met, where the judicial things took place, the legislative things took place at the gate of the city. Our gate here in Fulton County is the courthouse. The mayor's office, the city seat, the city council, that's the gate of the city. You're not listening to me. Jesus said, I'll build my church, my ecclesia, the called out ones. And they, when they were called, they would come and they would hear matters of government, matters of importance. And they would, by show of hands, by the lifting of hands, make rulings on things like treason. If there was a war, the ecclesia called the army out. The ecclesia said, yes, I think we need to go to war. They ruled on social and cultural matters. They set cultural standards. No, homosexuality is wrong. That will not be the law of the land. They voted with upraised hands, and so it was done. Even to the point where it was sent to the Areopagus, where Paul preached at the Areopagus in Acts 17. It was sent to them to make a ruling, and it was sent back to the various ecclesias to confirm what they did. It's just like our government is set. How many know the Supreme Court has way too much power? They're supposed to represent the people. I hope I'm talking to the right people. So Jesus, when he said, I'll build my ecclesia, he wasn't talking off the cuff. He was saying, I'll build my government. He was building a government of people that rule and reign with him. When Rome came along and took over where Greece left off, Rome would conquer an area and send in regulators. And it was called the ecclesia. They regulated by shaping culture. They shaped education, laws, standards, taxes. And their statement was, make it look like Rome. My friends, we have lost so much ground in the United States, and we've got to take responsibility. When Israel became a nation in 1948, we made a ruling in this nation. The government came to the church and said, we'll be the ecclesia, you be the church. You be that little building over in the corner and we'll take care of setting standards. We'll take care of shaping education. We'll take care of laws. We'll take care of taxes. We'll take it. We're going to make it look just like Washington. And the church said, and they said, if you do that, we won't charge anything for property. You won't have to pay any sales tax. You won't have to pay any tax. You'll essentially be tax-free. We're going to bless you. Just stay out of our business. We made a deal with the devil. We made a deal with the devil. The church said, you know, and they became the ecclesia. The government is now the ecclesia, the government. They're really not, but they are because of default. Nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody's going to be in charge. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are taking the most powerful kingdom in the world and relegating it to a Sunday morning from 10 to 12. Let me lay hands on you, man. Let me get, oh, let's go to a meeting. Let's go to one. And the world is going, you guys are going over to that building for a couple hours. You're no different than we are. You have to obey the same thing we do. Look at how this is ruling our lives. Talk to anybody with any kind of sense and they'll say, we don't know what's happening. Everything's going crazy. The church sat idly by beginning in the 60s. Mid-20th century, the church checked out. The devil came with these teachings. The world's going to end in any minute. Don't get involved with anything outside of the church. It's ungodly. Don't get involved with politics. Don't get involved with education. Jesus is coming. Get his own. Let the hell world go to hell in a handbasket. We're not allowed to anyway after 1948 into the 50s. That generation, listen to me, that generation was the 1960s. Talk to anybody about the 60s. It was the turning point. It was the hinge point in this nation that changed this nation forever. Nobody ever heard of the generation gap until the 60s. By the 70s, we were killing babies at will. Prayer was out of schools. You couldn't talk about Christ. Nobody wanted to mention Jesus. Oh, you could talk about God. To the point now where one of the most popular movements in the nation is Chrislam. We serve the same God. Our Pope, the living Pope right now, believes we serve the same God. Come on. We became prisoners of an ideal. And the government said, don't worry about shaping culture. Don't worry about shaping education. Don't worry about any of that. We'll take care of all that. We got that. You go do your thing. Go play over there. Go play over there and we'll take care of the rest. We'll allow you to do. Yeah, you want to have convention? You want to do it? Go ahead. And now that the church is beginning to speak, they're saying, we're the ecclesia. We'll shape the education. We'll shape the culture. You shut up and we'll make you shut up. It's time to rise up. It's time to be militant. It's time to take charge. First in your own family, in your own heart. Read the Bible. Pray. Be a Christian that God can count on because he's going to need every one of us. Not just one or two people in each congregation. Come on, somebody. We're the called out. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said, I will build my church. He was counting on us. Taking authority, ruling and reigning until he returns. And he's not going to come back till we get it. People say, well, Christ could come in any minute. No, he can't. That's one of the big lies. He can, but he's not going to. Don't look at me like that. Billions of people yet to come to Christ. Billions. Just in China and India alone, there's 2.4 billion people. Barely 2 to 3% know Christ. It's time to get busy. Now, can we wrap it up? I've always said, if the church would ever get it together, man. Do you know 39 million Christians did not vote in the last election? We're the ecclesia. We're the ones it's supposed to be. We need to change this thing. We need to take it back from the government. Amen. Government doesn't rule me. I don't. But I'm a lawbreaker. I'm not going to listen to what the government says. I'll talk about homosexuality till the cows come home. I will not marry two people that are transgender. I'm not going to obey the law of the land. I'm a lawbreaker. I put myself in this place. Come on, somebody. We need to take it back. We need to take it back. It's militant time. Seven mountains: religion, education, family, business, government, military, arts and entertainment, and media. We need to take that back over. I encourage you, get involved. Sit down. Write letters to your congressman. Maybe you've never done that. Write letters. You never know what it's going to do. Get on the phone and call somebody. Get involved in business. Get involved in the government. Here, the local government. Go to town hall meetings. Go to meetings. Let your voice be heard. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Don't count on just a few people. I ran for the school board a couple years ago. My eyes have been opened. There's stuff that I couldn't believe. People talked about it, and I said, well, that can't be. It can be. Some of the brightest minds in the state of Indiana are saying there's 62 genders. And that we could start giving hormone blockers to 12-year-olds so that they can have a sex change by their 18. I'm not talking about something I read on the internet. I read their own book from the Indiana State Board of Education. I read it with my own two eyes. If a child wants to turn their self over to the other sex and their parents disagree, after counseling, take the child from the home. Child comes to school and says, I want to live like a girl while I'm in school and a boy while I'm at home. You can't say anything to the parents. Ridiculous things. How did we get here? Because we were playing over there at the building. Go over there and play at the building. Leave all the other stuff to me. I'm the ecclesia. I'll take care. I'll shape this. I'll shape that. I'll do that. I'll do this. Trust me. Just send me your taxes and I'll take care of everything. Man, have we got ourselves in a mess? Because we bought the lie. Because that one understanding. Christ said, I'll come and build my government. I'll come and build my government. God, I pray this morning. I know this is a heavy. I know, God. But I know what you've been doing to me. And I think that you've been doing that to all of us. Because we're seeing some things in our with our eyes and hearing things with our ears that we never thought we'd see or hear. We thought that it might, at worst, it would happen after we're dead. And that would be convenient. God, that all the terrible stuff would happen after we're gone and we're with you. But Lord, we're here. And God, you did not make a mistake by putting me here. Lord, somebody with a lot more brains than me, a lot better looking than me, could be here right now, God. But you placed me here on purpose. And for everyone that's listening to me this morning, you placed us here on purpose. We're not an accident. From the very least to the very greatest of us, we're put here because you strategically placed us here. God, would you move on hearts? Lord, I pray the conviction. If there's anything that I've said that's from me, God, let it be forgotten. But let your word go deep in the hearts of each one here. Lord, that we might begin to see change. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable, God, because it means that we're going to have to change. But as was said, until we change, it's not really change. All we're doing is talking. God, let us leave the little sandbox playground that we've been in and enter into the battlefield for the souls of men. Please, oh God, please, God, stir each of our hearts to an action place. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.